This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We have a big show for you today. Matt Cotrillo will join us at about 1:15. Frank Bodani of the York Daily Record is going to talk some Penn State football with us. And Neil Coulong joins us at 2:05. I did joke to Neil, we get to talk about Brandon Ayuk again. I feel like we've been doing that for a month straight till they figure out what the heck is going on between the Steelers and the 49ers. Have our first high school football roundtable of the season.
Yes, that'll be on Thursday. Yes. We'll talk with... Is Matt first?
Matt is first.
Yeah. Then we'll actually get into the show.
I just assumed you were hiding because you knew Matt was first.
I'm like most of America. Yeah, aching for it to be over. All right. Our first roundtable because the first games, and that's a pretty good opener for Shikellamy Milton. That should be a heck of a game.
Yeah, there's the opening week usually isn't great.
Yeah,
but there is a couple games. I don't know if I said this on here, but I feel like the teams that have always been good the last couple years, except for maybe Danville, are probably going to take a bit of a step back because of graduation this year. And some of the teams that were, you know, 6-5, 6-4, I think are going to take a step forward. So there's going to be a lot of parity in the area this year.
And that's good. What about a team like Jersey Shore?
It's funny to me. They're number two preseason in the state. They're at the point now where they reload, but they lost a lot of parts. I think that might be a little high. I think they're kind of in the same boat as Selins Grove. They're going to be okay at the beginning of the season, but it's the talent's there. They're going to be a lot better at the end of the year once they figure out what they do well and what they have in some of their younger pieces.
Yeah, that'll be interesting because, we all know, the suit's been very vocal about Jersey Shore over the years, thus persona non grata. You made those statements before, then they went out and whacked. Shikellamy, that wasn't good. Not good.
I was going to say, until Selins Grove beat them in the district championship game last year, the only District 4 teams that had beaten them in, like, the last 7 years is that the Julian Fleming Southern Columbia team and the Mount Carmel team that same year. So,
yeah, pretty good, right?
That's a pretty good football team.
Yeah, pretty good football team. All right, we'll come back, Matt, in a moment. Brace yourselves. This could be explosive after the Yankees' impressive Williamsport. Did they lose? Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn what they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
Well, America, brace yourself. I'm sure he's on a roll and on a rampage. He was not named the NFL countdown replacement for Sam Ponder. It's going to be Mike Greenberg and not Matt Cotrillo. But here he is now, excited after the Yankees' strong offensive performance at Williamsport.
Even you aren't going to be good enough to replace anybody at ESPN anymore because you're not named Stephen A. Smith and Mike Greenberg. So let's just leave it there at that, of what a disgrace ESPN has become. We'll just leave it at that. And then when it comes to the Yankees' terrific performance at historic Bowman Field, and then you've got the brilliant manager leading the way saying, we're still sticking with Clay. Clay's our guy. That just shows you more confidence right there. So that's how we'll start it off this week.
Yeah, but who do you replace him with?
Well, that is the issue with the Yankees. Because there's really nobody else to replace him with. But yeah, I mean, he's got to try something at this point.
That's always the first question you have to ask. Okay, I understand that he's been up and down in the role. Who do you give the role to? And if you're not sure, maybe that's your
answer. I would have liked to have made it Mark Leiter Jr., but ever since his first two starts, he's done absolutely nothing. And again, this isn't just an Aaron Boone issue. This is a Brian Cashman issue because there is nobody to replace him right now. And Cashman did not do a good enough job improving this team at the deadline.
Yeah. But that's a big question. I mean, I know the power rankings, they're two right now and so forth, which means nothing.
And that I still don't understand. And this just shows you how stupid power rankings are across all sports. Are you not looking at or watching the way the Yankees are playing right now? I mean, you are literally just not watching. They lost 12-2 to the White Sox. Sure, that was their only loss of that series. But they still lost by 10 runs to a less than 30-win team. You saw how they performed over the weekend against Detroit. It was mediocre at best. That's how they've been all year. They are not one of the best teams in baseball. And I hate to say it, because I want them to be the best team in baseball, but they're not. They're just benefiting from the hot start that they got off to when everything literally went right for them. Everything that could have gone right for the Yankees did in that first part of the season. And as I said then, and I'll say it again now, let's see what happens when this team hits adversity and this team will eventually come back down to earth because they're not as good as the record indicates that they are. And this is exactly where we're at right now.
Well, when I had Jody Mack on last week, I said one of the keys to a season is all parts of it count. So the reason the Yankees are in the spot that they're in is that in April, May, and midway into June, now the kids are part of the show. Okay, I mean, come on. I mean,
John Paul's even agreeing with me here. He's 11 months old today, and he already gets that Aaron Boone can't manage the game.
He's 11 months old, and he complains like his father. For all we know, he wants more bananas. All right, so...
You know what? That could be entirely possible. He does love his bananas, especially frozen bananas.
I mean, can the kid talk? Let's go.
That is about all we got right now with John Paul.
It's just sad. All right, so, but, you know, all the parts count. The reason they're in the spot they're in is because when they played really well, those games counted. All right, now what's the issue? They're fighting over toys? What's going on?
No, that was just Luke being himself.
No, it is an average day.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, yeah. What's going on now? I mean, mom's not around, so like discipline's gone to heck of a handbasket?
Mom's putting Mark to sleep at the moment.
Well, how about the other ones?
I'm assuming she just turned on the radio and just putting them to sleep by listening to Dad.
Oh,
you know what? That's what she does say. She's like, "How do you deal with this when you sound so ridiculous week in and week out?"
Well, she speaks for America. All right, so what else is on your mind?
Well, keeping it on with this theme here, we're not even at week one yet, and I'm already unhappy with the direction that the job that Nick Sirianni has done with this team so far. Because he literally said at the end of last preseason, I think looking back on it, we need to evaluate the way how much playing time guys got. I think it definitely contributed to the way how slow the offense looked early on in the season. Well, guess what? We're two preseason games in, two of three, and the starters still have yet to see the field. So once again, Nick Sirianni is not even remotely close to backing up all these promises that he made in the offseason. That's number one. I mean, you go to the Baltimore game, I get it was rainy, but guess what? Baltimore played their starters.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, New England played their starters when it was rainy out. So obviously the field must have been in decent condition for them to play the starters. I know you had the joint practice, but guess what? As we talked about before, the joint practices are controlled. Nobody's really getting hit that hard. It's still different from a game situation. And we look at Baltimore, if you don't want them playing because of the monsoon that was from the hurricane a few weeks ago, okay, fine, I get that to an extent. Baltimore didn't play their starters either. But then you still had two preseason games at that point. Now you're down to one. And yeah. I'm sorry, that's just, regardless of how much they would play in a game, Sirianni hasn't indicated if anybody's going to play in this third preseason game. But to me, one game's not enough. To me, Andy Reid has always had it perfect with the starters. You play him a quarter in the first game. You play him a half in the second game. You play him into the third quarter in the third game. You send him when they had the fourth game. But even so, he's still stuck with that in Kansas City. That's what you need to do. And especially when you have all these new moving parts, two new coordinators, a new offense, and even Mike Quick said this before the Baltimore game. Now that the Eagles are bringing back motion, you need to work on that timing. And it's one thing to work on it in practice, but it's another thing, again, in the fluidity of an actual live game to work on that timing. So it's already a couple strikes against Nick Sirianni for trying to make all these different changes in the offseason and to what he approaches things. And so far, he's stuck to what didn't work last year. So I'm not off. I am not off to a good start as far as believing that Nick Sirianni can turn this around. And what we all know is it pretty much a make it or break it year for him.
So we'll put you down as a no.
Correct. Vic Fangio gets it. He's even said, "I need to see the starters play. Starters need to play." And Bryce Huff played last week because he needed to play, and lo and behold, that's a perfect example. Now he played great in the game against New England, and I've heard nothing but good things about the way he's played in practice this week. You should have learned something from week one. Same thing with the rest of the starters.
Yeah.
Look at Kobe Dean. He's another example. He didn't have so great of an offseason, but ever since he's been playing, now he's in a good groove, and now he's battling Zach Bond into this third preseason game for the other starting linebacker spot. Play the players in the preseason game. If they get hurt, they get hurt. I'd rather you go down trying than not at this point, and then you look like the offense, you look like the beginning of the year last year. It's the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in getting into rhythm. I don't care if you play one quarter in the first two games. I don't think any starter should play in the third game. The third game should be all about who makes the team. But I think you have to have some level of rhythm by playing them at least a quarter just to get out there and play a game against somebody else and the speed of the game. I think Andy's had it right for years. I think Mike Tomlin has had it right for years. I just think that that everybody's so cautious about playing people today. There's a constant fear of injury. But, I mean, guys can get injured on a skiing trip. Right?
And Cooper DeJean, he got hurt doing an off-season workout. And he's finally getting back into being a full participant in practice. We'll see if he plays this week.
Yeah. So, I just think that the NFL preseason, and really across the board, I don't mind if they're not playing the last three quarters of the game. To me, that's being conservative. I think you've got to find a rhythm. And the other part, too, is I need my guys on defense to tackle.
Yeah, exactly right, especially with the way training camps are now. Yeah, no question there. Because that also was a problem for the Eagles at times last season.
Well, it's a problem for everybody, I feel, until game three. And suddenly,
that's true, yes.
And by game three, the tackling starts to get better because a lot of teams are getting their tackling in the game.
Not only that, it's more, you see more pre-snap penalties and this and that because guys aren't in rhythm, as you mentioned. The product's just not as good the first month of the season in the NFL, and we really have seen that come to its high end the last few seasons when more and more teams just don't play their starters in the preseason, especially when they went down to three games.
And it's going to get worse because when it gets to 18, they're only going to have two games.
Exactly right. And I've already told you before that when you look at the evaluation part of players filling out the rest of your 53-man roster and your practice squad, to me, that's not enough games to evaluate for coaches to evaluate guys. And so there's that. But while we're on this subject, too, and we talked about this before, it's just awful to see the NFL continue to just price gouge these games to fans that, to me, because I used to go to a lot of preseason games with my dad all the time when the starters would play, even if they played a quarter, because they were cheaper, and you at least got to see the players that you want to see play, for even if it was just for a little bit, even though the product still wasn't as bad. But now, you're not even seeing the guys play at all. The product's probably a little bit worse, and you're still paying full price for these tickets, plus parking, plus concessions, which say this whole thing. It's not worth it anymore. So the Eagles, and there's a whole lot of other teams that don't have training camp anymore, period. The Steelers obviously still do with St. Vincent College, and the Eagles have one open practice a year that you have to pay for just to get in, and then it's kind of like first come, first serve for like seating and whatnot. Eagles had 50,000 people at that open practice a few weeks ago. I don't understand why the NFL just can't see that when they're trying to make a bank for a buck on everything that they do lately when it's come now down to Wednesday, Christmas Day games. You're doing the stupid Friday game in Brazil for the Eagles and Packers week one. Let's start televising and allowing fans and media more access to the joint practices, because then you'll get to see guys play. Sure, it's not a real game, but you get to see the players play that you want to see play. That would be more worth it to me as a consumer to go see, even though it's not a real game. I'd rather go see a joint practice against another team, see the players that I want to see play, than go to a lousy preseason game when the starters aren't playing and the product, I'm sorry, is not as good even though it's the actual game. I think the NFL really needs to start considering that, too.
Yeah, I mean, that's been a big complaint for years, that game, preseason game, has been the same price as a regular season game when you're getting a substandard product. When you're watching a bunch of guys that are going to get cut, it is a substandard product. That means the team doesn't think they're good enough to be in the NFL. And you know, when you buy season tickets, they make you buy it. Oh, God. Hey, Todd. Do we have to pay the kids for this segment, too? What?
The same price Matt's getting.
I mean, this is like the family plan.
Once again, John Paul agrees. He's going to be going to games in a couple of years. He's getting his input in now. I applaud that.
But all he does is
listen
grunt.
Listen up, Roger Goodell. This is the future.
But all
Give
he does is grunt.
Deserve.
He just grunts. Eh. But how am I supposed to interpret that? Ah. What does that mean? I mean, your kids, we need subtitles. What's going on?
He's simplifying Matt's comments to their base.
That's a very good point. That's a very good observation.
But there's some parts of it where, when I listen to the kid, it seems to make more sense. You have Milton Shikalemi as your first game?
Yes, sir. Looking forward to it. First game at the new Shikalemi Sports Complex, Friday night at 6:30 on SECVA.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. I think everybody knows I went with Ford. And it was a great purchase. And they also have great pre-owned inventory. And your budget may be screaming, hey, look, I got to go the pre-owned inventory route. Well, they go over each one with a fine-tooth comb. That way it eases the buying experience. And they have a great service department that backs it up from routine to inspections to difficult. They handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Guy that defines professionalism with class is Frank Bodani, York Daily Record. Frank, welcome back.
Hey, happy football season, Steve.
Yeah.
Thanks for that intro, man.
Well, you deserve it after all these years of knowing you. That was easy for me to say. So.
Yeah. Only a week and a half to go, so I can't believe it. And Penn State opens on the road again, so this should be intriguing for us.
Yeah, it should be intriguing because on a weekend where, like, there are a couple of marquee games, like LSU, USC, so forth. Penn State, West Virginia is actually one of the better opening games. So in your opinion, how much do you think everybody, including James Franklin, will learn because of the opponent and where the game's being played?
Yeah, I think you're force-fed to learn a lot about how you can deal with, I don't know, I guess adversity is the right word, because you don't have any, you know, the runway is real short because you're going on the road, and everything you deal with young players and first-time starters right away. Right, there's no like breaking in with a couple of home games against a MAC team or something, you know. So, and it's a hostile environment. Penn State hasn't played there in more than 30 years, so it'll be a good test, I think. Kind of just maybe I don't know what emotionally how you handle all these things. Maybe even more than physically the opponent. So I think it's a good test. And you know, they've had some fairly harrowing opening road game experiences under James Franklin, so I guess the idea is to build for better for this one.
Drew Aller has gone through one season, so he's no longer a rookie at quarterback. He's seen a lot of different speeds of defenses. What can that mean in a situation like this going on the road as a second-year starter?
Well, that composure, he knows, if not what to expect, I think his reaction to what he gets will be, I've seen that before, I know what to do here. And really key in that he's using, you know, he's going to be operating a somewhat very new offense. So you're also breaking out at least somewhat of a new offense on the road in the first week, but you have the advantage of him playing the whole year last year as a starter, but he also had some experience a little bit the year before. So this isn't even a second-year guy, really. So I think that's huge for all the intangibles that go into what we're dealing with. And I know people are excited to see what Andy Kirilenicki's offense, how different it looks.
Which that was going to be my next question. Between Andy Kirilenicki and Tom Allen, as a reporter, how anxious are you to see what kind of touches they have put in and how Penn State works with those touches?
Yeah, especially, I mean, offensively, obviously, I think there's much more to gain. And I only say that because Penn State's defense was really good the last 2 years. It's going to it should be really good again. And I think the only thing defensively, I guess, I'm looking at is, well, maybe how often do you see more than two linebackers on the field at the same time? And let's get a better look at Abdul Carter at defensive end. Offensively, everything's a play to me because it's about using the players, I think, hopefully differently, getting them in space, getting them the ball easier. How does that all function? How does that look? Because I think there's more to get. I think people think there's more to get from your two tailbacks who are very talented and from your receivers and the quarterback and the backup quarterback, right? So
right.
What does that all look like? I think, you know, people are, you know, they're excited to see it.
They are excited to see it. So now we get to the next part. Everybody's talked in the offseason. What's been the primary talking point in the offense, besides Andy being there, has been about the wide receivers. And, you know, obviously there's been reports about how things have gone to this point. But you know, how anxious are you to see what practicality looks like?
Yeah, I want to see how easy it looks like to get them the ball. Because I don't disagree. I would not disagree with James Franklin saying there's enough talent in the room. But it just seemed like it was always a struggle to find these guys. And I'm thinking last year. And I'm thinking, well, Drew Aller, he's got all his abilities and talents, and these receivers were pretty good recruits. Why does it look this hard? So, and Liam Clifford is a guy, like, to me, is an example of that. I really thought he would be a guy with – he'd be a safety valve guy, a zone breaker, buster, a guy you'd find in the middle of the field time and again for the first down. And we just didn't see a lot of that last year. I'm still looking. I'm expecting to see him touch the ball in a lot of those circumstances a lot more this year. So how do they do it? You know, what's the pre-snap motion and all of the window dressing look like? And Trey Wallace, I think we were kind of robbed of seeing him and his experience, I mean, his potential last year just because of the injuries. I think everybody's name is Julian Fleming because we've heard about him for not just the past year on end, but the past, people know about him for, what, 5 years now, Steve?
Yeah, that's right.
So, but I think Trey Wallace, you know, he's the guy that's apparently maybe the number one right now, so let's get him healthy. He had a great start against West Virginia last year, right? I think he had 7 catches.
Yeah.
So I think he stays healthy. I just want to see what that kid can do.
What do you think the running backs, Singleton and Allen, can mean in the passing game?
Yeah, it's a huge untapped area. I think you saw it a little bit at the end of the year at Michigan State in the bowl game, particularly with Nick. I mean, that was a great play, you know. I mean, maybe the offensive highlight of the – well, Tyler Warren's catch was really good, but Bo Fabiola finding Nick Singleton for the touchdown, and I think it gave you a glimpse of, hey, get this guy out there, look for him. These running backs are going to be a great asset. They just, to me, were not used last year nearly enough. So I think they're both really good at that. We hear Quentin Martin can be a receiving threat even before he gets there on the field. If he can get himself a role on that team, I think he could really help out a lot. So I think they just have untapped ability. And I think it's receiving, but also running. They just need some room to operate.
Have you done any kind of dive at all yet into West Virginia, or are you going to wait till game week for that?
A little bit. I'm thinking their offenses are going to be ahead of their defense from what it looks like. they also use a pretty successful running back combination like Penn State, and one of their kids, Jaheim White, is from New York, so we're pretty familiar with Jaheim. He had a great second half of last year, including a 200-yard rushing day against Cincinnati. So, but a small guy. Penn State didn't really recruit him. He's like 5'7", 5'9", but really successful. And their quarterback, Penn State fans know about. So I think the the right off the bat, the real interesting is test matchup is their offense against Penn State's defense, and can Penn State stop the run? And that means Garrett Green, the quarterback, too. And that's gave him a little bit of trouble last year, but. You know, Penn State may have, what, the oldest defensive tackle group in the country, so we're looking for that to help them out against the run, right?
Right. Oh, it's a completely different year in every way because there's a 12-team playoff, there are no divisions, there's helmet communication, there are iPads on the sidelines. How do you view each of these changes, starting with the playoff? And I'll take you through one by one. We'll start with the playoff.
I think the playoff, a lot of intrigue and a different look for teams that almost, hey, you lose in the past, you lose one game, this game, or you lose that game, and you're done for what you really want. And now all of a sudden, teams like Penn State, particularly, I mean, we keep hearing this, Penn State should benefit about the most of anyone. Their season isn't done, even if they lose two games, right? And that's what I think is so interesting about this. But there's also the home game aspect to this. So you have not only more teams in it, but a team like Penn State hosting a playoff game the weekend before Christmas, and you don't know who they could play. That's just as it makes it more fair. It makes this more fair. I mean, if you go back to, hey, we're at the anniversary in 1994. Right? Okay, what kind of options did that team have?
Right.
That team had like zero options at the end of the year to prove who they were. You know, they had to play one team in one game, and that's it. And now Penn State and a lot of others have a lot of other possibilities.
Which now brings us to no divisions. I think that, you know, for Wisconsin and Iowa, there's always been that almost that easy ride into the conference championship game. What do you think of no divisions? Because across the board, there are no divisions. SEC, Big 12, ACC, Big 10. Your thought on that?
Oh, that's more. We're talking about let's make this more fair. That's more fair. I mean, there was nothing fair about the Big 10 divisions in the past. You had, like you mentioned, the easy walk, so to speak, maybe for Wisconsin, Iowa. And then look at the other side of it. Literally the hardest walk in college football when you consider the Penn State in the same division with the last 3, 4, or 5 years, the two of the best teams in the country in your division. I mean, the SEC couldn't even really say that. Not like that.
Right.
So, yeah, let's be more fair.
Okay, so now we get to the next one. Helmet communication. In the NFL, you've had this for 30 years. College football is doing it for the first time. And on Penn State staff, for example, Andy Koltunicki and Tom Allen, they've been college coaches their entire lives. So they haven't had to do this. Just your thought on, especially early in the season, making sure it works because of the 15-second shutoff.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's individual basis, right? I mean, Andy Koltunicki was already asked about the idea of, hey, this is great, you can communicate more, but you can't over communicate, right? So how do you draw this balance? But I'm thinking, okay, you have a really creative offensive play caller, and you have what we envision as a very intelligent, very high profile potential field quarterback. I think that should be a good marriage. I think that should help. I think, you know, Penn State will take advantage of this. I think this is, I mean, hey, there's a lot of kinks to work out at the beginning of any season. This is another one.
Then the ability to use iPads, which will not be still pictures like we've seen forever in the NFL. You can use video. I mean, for every team across the country, I mean, what do you think of that?
hey, can you? How do you use the technology to your advantage? And I'm thinking, I mean, all you got to do is go online and look at Penn State's athletic department and how big it is, and it's big for a reason. It grows for a reason, and this is part of the huge, huge reason, right? Because you got to have, you got to be able to have people to staff this and take advantage of the situation. And great, you know, Penn State will. I think James Franklin's staff will. I mean, they're going to use this. They know this. This is in their control.
Right.
You know, I think the hard thing for Penn State football is there's been some things that have been tough that have been somewhat out of their control. And I mean, as a team, and I mean, NIL was part of this, right? I don't think, I mean, we know James Franklin and his, I mean, they didn't have control from the beginning over what Penn State's NIL looked like. Them,
right.
They did not. Well, they have control over this and this change and this technology, and I think it'll work well.
What are the primary questions that readers give you when they make their comments or want to get a hold of you? What are their primary questions?
No, they're asking, well, you know, can Penn State make the playoffs? And then, you know, we talk about, well, this is different now. Can they finally make the playoffs? Well, yeah, they can, as long as they, to me, as long as they don't lose three games, they're going to be in the playoffs. You know, people wonder about James, they ask about James Franklin all the time. And they ask about, and it goes in with expectations. And, well, is he good, you know, is he on the hot seat? If they don't make the playoffs, is he on the hot seat? And then, I think people have very short, they look at things very ultra-focused in the moment rather than, like, let's look at the big picture here. I mean, Penn State's been one of the most consistent teams in the country and in the roughest division. So, yeah, let's talk about the whole picture. No, James Franklin's not on the hot seat in any way that I see. Make the playoffs or not. So, and then they, I think, you know, Drew Aller, obviously we're hitting on all points, and in New York, Bo Pribula, so the quarterback, right? So is Bo going to get, what's his role going to look like? Which is really, beyond York is an intriguing question, because to me, Steve, as a runner, he has pretty, I think, undervalued, pretty impressive skills that I'm really looking forward to seeing how much they use him, find a way to use him to their advantage early in games, and how that can work. I mean, that could be a real weapon, yet using two quarterbacks, you know, not always the easiest thing, but so yeah, we're always talking about Bo Pribula here.
Well, I will give you one Bo nugget. It was from Sunday. And you know, it was, I think it was the last drill that, it was the next to last drill they did. It was a 2-minute drill, something like that. It was the last. Right? And so he had to take off and run. He darts right, darts left, darts right, darts right. And Smith Vilbert was standing next to me, and he goes, oh, man, he just drives us nuts.
Well, you know, you remember Rashard Casey running.
And
you,
oh,
you
know, of course I do.
You know, you know how guys have different styles. And to me, it's not, it's just, I think it's Bo's, it's his vision and his decisiveness, not like his wiggle or his dramatic cuts, or it's just that, like, he makes a decision, he sees it, and he goes, and it, and that process, he does it so well, it makes him look faster, maybe even. I mean, he's just really good at picking out when and how and where to go.
Any national story you're looking at, Frank, right now beyond Penn State that intrigues you?
You know, I guess I'm so focused on, because the Big Ten has become national.
Yeah,
so,
that's right.
I mean, Oregon is a team that Penn State doesn't play, but how do they, how do the West Coast teams fit into a conference that's 1,000, almost 2,000 miles away, not just with travel, but with their styles of play. I mean, Oregon's expected to do really, really well. USC, I'm really intrigued about, because they have a reputation recently of being this high-powered, very skillful offense. And can they, or what are they going to do with the physicality, especially dealing with Big Ten defenses and Big Ten running games? Maybe it doesn't matter, but I'm fascinated to see them because they seem to be built a little like, I think Big Ten fans know Maryland. You know, Maryland, very skillful, fast, scores a lot of points. They look really good often in September and yeah. October, and sometimes they get to the end of the year, and the physicality doesn't look like it's really there for Maryland. You've seen that up close. And I don't know. I mean, I'm wondering if USC is more like that or if they're going to adjust very quickly and be even better than people think.
Well, it's finally upon us. Always, yeah. Always a pleasure, Frank. Thanks so much for your valuable time today. I really appreciate it.
Enjoyed it. Great to see you, and look forward to seeing you a couple Saturdays.
Sounds great. Thanks so much. Yeah. The outstanding Frank Bodani, York Daily Record. And this half hour has been brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Yeah, we're close now. Now they had the off day yesterday. They'll get back to work this afternoon. I think practice starts in about an hour and 20 minutes. And they'll then eventually transition. I think tomorrow or Thursday. It's one of those 2 days. The first bonus West Virginia day. West Virginia was off yesterday, and they are going to lock in on Penn State, they say, beginning on Thursday. I realize it's a coach trying to defend his players, and I understand that. But Neil Brown was upset at ESPN because, you know, we had Adam Rittenberg on the show yesterday about the top 100. And Neil Brown was upset about it. And I know that you want to feel like you're giving your players their due. But you can't sit there and no offense, you're going to care about some opinion piece in the preseason? Now, as the season goes and your guys are performing well and they're not getting their due, you're entitled to say something. Preseason, who cares? And that's one of those where I think that you need to show a little more maturity as the coach about, hey, look, our guys are really good. They'll prove it on the field, and then we'll see what the top 100 list looks like at the end of the year. He didn't do that, though.